the video. We're live already. Preview. We screwed it up, the intro, for some reason, because I didn't set it up right. Again. Episode 99, one more to 100, which will be with Coach Redberry tomorrow. But pretty good series against the Padres.
Do you have a spring in your step?
I do, a little bit. I mean,
did you watch the game?
I watched every single one. And
we were in a COVID lockdown at my house because my daughter's camp had an outbreak.
Right.
All negative. We got our results on Sunday, but it was like late Sunday, so we locked ourselves down to be responsible and not infect somebody else. And so I was watching a ton of sports, you know, between the Olympics and everything.
Yeah.
So I watched all of the games. And I got to tell you, man.
I mean, we were in the first two also. We could have won that series.
No, I've had friends from other teams, like friends, call me saying, you know, for whatever reason they caught it, they were interested in seeing the Padres, and everyone's like, "That's a good baseball team," and the Marlins fought hard.
Yeah,
and that the idea they were saying, like, to me, it was a little bit of like a Mattingly thing. It's like, you know, here we are. Not to bring up other sports as usual, but you know, Inter Miami is really struggling as a team.
Yeah.
And they came back and they tied last night. But it's like you really see, how does a team react in adversity? That's to me, that's leadership, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here's the Marlins. Like, it's just dog days of the season. Things aren't going well.
Right.
You're about to lose a bunch of your best players for trade. And they fought like tigers every out, every at bat.
Yeah. And do you think I think part of that might be that conversation that they had when it was an hour before Mattingly, after the national series, he comes out and it was an hour later than he normally does because they had a club meeting to talk about, you know, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
I think it's part of that. And then I think it's part of some of these guys know they're on the blocks and they're trying to just
light it up
as much as they can. And you saw that with Duvall, you saw it with Marte. And then fortunately, some of these guys that we're going to have to bring in to replace them actually, you know, showed up. Sweet Lewis Brinson came to play.
Played out of his mind.
Yeah, ridiculous.
It's funny because I got to tell you something. I saw someone had a great thing on Twitter. They talked about having Brinson fatigue.
Oh, yeah.
Because he comes up. He looks so good.
Yeah.
He's a good-looking ball player.
Yeah.
He does everything right. And then all of a sudden he's hitting, you know, like 190.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, let's put him back down. And he looked
pretty
hungry.
Good.
He played well.
I'm not sure that he can cover the ground in the outfield like Marte, but I think that's the only thing we got until we either bring up Blade, Burdick, or one of the other guys.
But that was the whole Marte thing in a nutshell, right? When Marte – When wasn't it Brinson that missed the fly ball?
Yeah.
It was like something out of a high school baseball game.
Right. But then I saw him yesterday catch one in the corner.
Yeah.
On the run, that would have been a fair ball. That would have been a double or maybe more. And he got to it and ended up bouncing off the padding over there.
It's interesting you say that because, you know, they always talk about baseball as such a unique sport because it's a, you know, I've heard it described as an individual sport played in a team setting.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's you against the pitcher. It's pitcher against the thing. It's you know, you just a ground ball to third. Like that's your play. That's it. There's no teamwork. You just throw
that's
it to first
you.
Base.
Yeah,
and it's like there was a little bit of, you know, the way that you bring up that, and it's also, I think I got to tell you something is I always look in sports for when things are going bad. It's like, what, you know, I think from playing sports, it would always be like, all right, we're losing 6-0. We're not going to score 7 goals in the third period.
Right.
But let's win the period.
Yeah.
Let's, you know, like let's, you know, I think good coaching was like, let's, you know, let's work on this. Let's bring something into our day off that we can be positive. And I think that's so key. And it's like these Marlins, they do a lot of positive things.
Yeah. I just saw earlier this morning, Peter Gammon's tweet talking about that the Marlins are working on unloading Marte and Duvall and some relievers. However, when teams like the Reds come knocking on the door, looking for Rojas, that's not even part of the conversation, that they're not even
really
entertaining that idea. So it looks like he's going to stay, but these other guys, I'm not sure about Aguilar, but I think Duvall and Marte are definitely,
I mean, Aguilar is leading. I saw he's leading
the National League in RBIs.
RBIs.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's a sweet he's an awesome player, and he's a great guy. He's a good guy to have in the clubhouse. He's a good guy to have in the dugout. He's a, you know, he's a fire starter. He's a guy that's going to get you fired up to go out and play. And he's there to celebrate when we win games or when you hit a home run or do something good. So, I mean, that's a guy I hate to see go. Really don't want Duvall to go, but you've got to have at least one or two veterans that are going to take care of these young guys that are 19, 20 years old.
That don't know anything about
it. They have no idea what they're doing. Yeah. Not about playing baseball.
Yeah, yeah, no.
I'm talking about being on a professional baseball
team. On 162 game season.
Yeah, yeah. So I expect, obviously the trade deadline is this weekend. And we've got the Yankees coming to town. How weird would it be for Marte to get traded to the Yankees and then come back to Lone Depot Park in a Yankees uniform playing center field? Would he get booed? I'm not sure. He might get, who knows?
I was thinking about Marte. My daughter loves Marte. And you know, he was up there and he got that cool walk and then he walked in the run. And it was funny because I just, you know, I kept saying over and over again, this is the best bullpen in baseball. Like, look what we're doing to him.
This
is the best
bullpen. They got ripped. Darvish. And listen, I was like, when they said Trevor Rogers went to the IL the 10 day, I was like, oh, that means we got a pen day against you, Darvish. Because he was on the Cubs. I mean, I've seen that guy throw some monster games, and I was a little bit concerned when I saw Rogers was on the IL. Yeah. But they put it together. And then Saturday, most impressive of the whole weekend was Braxton, pitching-wise, Braxton Garrett throwing 10 Ks, and that's only his second big league start.
I have another friend that's a Mets fan, and he was talking about Rogers.
Yeah.
It was funny. He's like that Rogers. You know, it's funny. Rogers catches some attention league-wide. Like, that guy's the real deal, man.
Yeah. And he'll hopefully be back.
Yeah, he'll be back.
By that Mets series. But we've got tomorrow, day off today, thank God. Get these guys rested up for a short series in Baltimore at Camden Yards. Sandy is back from the bereavement list, so he will be starting tomorrow against Watkins, who I think is a pretty good pitcher for them. So that should be a tough game. Baltimore is not, you know, the cream of the crop of the American League East. However, they still every once in a while put up some, and they got some decent players, position players that are likely going to be traded as well. So
I always follow Baltimore because of the I lived in DC, and there was no Senators. I mean, there was no Senators. There was no Nationals.
Right.
So I would go. That's where I would watch. So I've always had a sweet spot for the Orioles, and they have just been so terrible for so long.
Yeah.
That organization just cannot get it together.
It sucks.
So
sucks.
I follow them.
They got a great ballpark, and they got a really good fan base, and people love the O's. I mean, when they're singing the national anthem. The O part, everybody in the whole stadium is screaming at the top of their lungs.
Yeah, and I go over to where is it? Is it in Sarasota? Where's the O's home now?
It's over there on the West Coast.
It's on the West Coast, but yeah, I've been, you know, like I go, I always try to catch an O's. I like that. That stadium used to be somebody's stadium. Before that, and they took it over, and you go, and it's just packed full of O's fans, and it's like they have a great fan base. But we should win that game. I mean, this is another test of like
we should win both those games,
win the series,
then come back. I mean, look, the Yankees aren't all that good, man. Red Sox have been putting it on them, and I'm really a hater after that fan thing with the baseball hitting the player, and then all the other fans like piling on that thing, thinking it was a good idea. No,
it'll be interesting because I watched that Yankees series out in. Houston, and they clobbered Houston. You know, Houston got one game out of it. And the Yankees did not look bad then. I mean, that was before the All-Star break.
Mm-hmm.
And the key to the Yankees was the pitching.
Right.
Like, they have good pitching. And if they, you know, if they show up.
Well, Gerrit Cole's a freaking phenom.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they got some other big, you know, look at Judge and some of these other guys that can just smash the ball. So that, I mean, it's going to be a tough series, but I hate their fans. They're definitely going to outnumber Marlins fans come next weekend. But I'd love to just ram it down their throat that we beat them and swept their ass right here in Miami. But, you know, then we got the real deal when we play the Mets, and if we can creep a little bit closer. But who knows what that lineup's even going to look like for us come next week. So, or even come Sunday against the Yankees. But day of rest for the boys, well deserved. And
I wish we could get up and watch like a Pensacola game,
or a
Jumbo Shrimp and see these prospects. I only follow.
Oh, I think you got to go to Pensacola because remember, like I was saying before, AAA, that's a way station for guys that are rehabbing or guys that like Chad Wallach and people that we push down there that are better than the guy they had before. I absolutely believe that the future of catching that's there in Jacksonville is Brian Navarreto. Yep. But then we drafted a guy too, so who knows how that's going
to Yeah, that's out. One thing we haven't talked about is the draft. The you know, I don't pretend to follow that level, but it seemed, you know, the commentators, the people who follow it, definitely seem like the Marlins did a good job.
Yeah, they gave us an A-, I don't think it, or maybe an A grade on that draft, and it was solid. But then I heard certain things about the kid, the first guy that we, the number one pick, that the reason he dropped was because he was kind of a punk, you know, and had a little bit of an attitude, a chip on his shoulder, and didn't think he had to show up on time for workouts and things like that, and wasn't given 100%. And that, in scouts' eyes, dropped him down a little bit. But maybe he gets into a Derek Jeter type environment and culture where that changes.
Yeah.
You know, and once you come close to greatness, the only thing you want to do is be great. I mean, and you get around players like Jazz Chisholm and Miggy Rojas and some of these other guys, and then staff like with Don Mattingly, who is one of the greatest players of all time, you get around that. That's got to change the way you do things.
It's interesting to say because I love – it'll be starting up soon because NFL is starting up, training camp starting up. Next Saturday, I'm going mm-hmm. to FanFest at the Dolphins.
Oh,
at their new training facility. Like I got my tickets. They're free tickets, by the way. Anyone wants to go? We'll see if it's not shut down for COVID.
Right.
But it was interesting because I love watching Hard Knocks. And I remember when what's his name for Cleveland showed up? Who's the kid that came to Cleveland from Oklahoma?
I'm not sure who you're talking about.
The kid, the star is the kid that came out of Oklahoma.
Yeah, but then they traded the guy?
No. He's like one of the stars of the NFL. He does those commercials where he does the commercial where he's living in the stadium.
Oh, you're talking about
what's his name?
Oh, dude.
I can't believe we have it. Anyway, this is terrible.
Baker Mayfield.
So Baker Mayfield shows up for the first training camp, and you know, it's almost sick how early they start, right? It's like 5 a.m. They always show him like showing up. And he shows up like, you know, he waltzes in about 7:30 after signing his, you know, like $20 million contract. And there's the old coach, and the coach is like, hey, you know, walks up to him and says super casually, like, hey, heard you came in at 7:30. He's like, yep. And he goes, you know, and it was that guy from the Bills, that kind of journeyman African-American quarterback, mm-hmm. the perennial backup. And he says, hey, so-and-so got here 5:30. And Baker kind of looks at him and he goes, yeah, I know he does like this little workout thing. Coach is like, yeah, maybe you should have a little workout thing at 5:30.
Oops.
And I got to tell you something. However Baker works out, it was funny seeing because you know what? Baker, who kind of could be perceived as having a bad attitude.
Uh-huh.
Guess what Baker did?
What? Showed up to 5:30 the next day?
It's right there with the quarterback. He goes, let's do your little workout.
See how good you are.
But just to see, but also like what I liked was just like he took the criticism.
Yeah.
Like if I want to be a leader, maybe I do need to be the first man here.
Right.
And it just like, I think that leadership, you hear those stories all the time about setting that culture. I always go back to the Bill Laimbeer. Did you ever watch, do you remember the story about Bill Laimbeer at the cultural at the Bad Boys at Detroit Pistons?
I saw that 30 for 30.
But do you remember what they said about the culture, how the culture was set? One of the guys that came in as a rookie, you know, he got traded over and he said, oh yeah, no, it was super simple. He goes, I showed up within 15 minutes in the locker room. Bill Laimbeer takes me aside, sticks a finger in my face and says, hey, here's how we do things. And if you don't do it that way, I'm going to kick your ass.
Yeah.
You're going to have to fight me.
And he wasn't even the baddest dude on that team. You had Oakley, you had freaking Rodman was on.
You know, setting the scene. But it's interesting you say that because that is the role of the veterans, right?
Yeah.
And they say that about the old Canes all the time about, you know, the coaches were not the ones that were hard on the players.
It was the juniors and seniors that have been there Yeah,
and that's what we're missing that today, frankly, and I think a little bit in today's culture.
I just hope that after the end of this trade thing, deadline's finished, and we do whatever we do, and I have a feeling we're going to do a lot, that we keep at least a couple guys that are going to continue that cultural thing that about winning, about integrity, about respecting the game, and about discipline, and that's how you win. But
and keeping it fun, though, I got to tell you something. Like that Marlins team, it's like. You know, my father passed away years ago, a big sports fan, big Marlins fan. And he would always say, you know, like that saying of like, they're too young and stupid to be intimidated.
Right. That's kind of what they are.
There is something up to that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think some of the guys that have been there for a little while probably were looking at that lineup saying, holy, you mean Tatis, Machado, Cronenworth.
You Darvish up on the mound.
It doesn't get any tougher than that. And then they just went out reckless abandon and won two games and almost three games.
Yep.
And in a weird fashion on Saturday, how they ended up winning that with the
runner
interference. So the guy is obviously out. Ball to short. Miggy gets it, tags the bag, then has to go airborne because the runner coming in the second obviously interferes with the play. Now the throw to first misses, and they reviewed it, and it was the end of that game basically.
I thought it was the right call though, right?
Oh, definitely the right call.
I mean, that was interference. You got to go down.
You got 100%. You got to get down.
So. You don't get to come up.
But it wasn't but a split second that he would have made that play regardless. So
yeah. No, exactly.
I mean, that's Air Rojas.
Yeah. It was cool. I was watching with my family. They kept showing that cool. I mean, it was just cool. I mean, I know it must have hurt Miggy, but like, it was cool seeing Miggy fly through the air.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a cool play.
He's a wizard. He's a wizard for sure. All right. So no game tonight, but we're back tomorrow.
One other thing. To have my 8-year-old daughter who loves Jazz Chisholm to see. Did you see the thing where he gave the little girl came?
Yeah, yeah.
The little Haitian girl
mm-hmm.
came in, and to see my daughter's like, why is she getting that? Why? Like she was totally into it. Like, I want one of those jerseys. How do I meet that guy?
Right, right.
And it was like such a cool little moment they had with her in the locker room with him.
Yeah, man.
And I love when she said, did you see it, D-Nice? This little Haitian girl, she was so cute. She'd been adopted by this family, I guess. And she's there with Jazz, and they're like, what did you like best about meeting him? And her response was, his shoes, they were dope.
Seriously dope. Literally. And I think he's part of that freaking Miggy's locker, because Miggy Rojas is another one that wears the crazy outlandish shoes, has it custom made. And as soon as Jazz, you know, those guys are kind of like working together there, second and short. And they obviously Jazz looks up to Miggy big time. So, yeah, he's on that bad shoe train. I mean, when I say bad, I mean bad.
But that goes to the veteran thing. Think about if you're Jazz Chisholm and you get to look over to your right.
Miguel Rojas.
Hey, man, what do I do here? What's your advice? What's your, you know, like it is, that's what we're talking about. That's right. When you can, you know, you have that to do, you know, and that's part of it. And it's funny too, because like Mattingly, you know, it's interesting seeing this season with him. I mean, can you imagine just being able to go ask Mattingly baseball questions?
That'd be awesome.
You know,
I'd like to just have a beer with him, like tonight.
You know, if you're a young player and you want to ask about how you go about your career, how you do things right way.
Yeah, yeah. How do you make it last? Because he made it last a long time. So no game tonight, but tomorrow it will be show 100. I got to come up with some giveaway.
Oh.
Yeah, we'll have to figure it out. But yeah, expect a giveaway tomorrow, mainline Marlins fans. We will be back tomorrow at 2, Red Berry. With some more talk
the
about
the legend, trade. Red Berry.
The myth, the legend, all of it wrapped in one, 65 years of
talk to Red coaching. Berry. When you do, you know, it was interesting when we had the Sugar King, the grandson,
Maduro Jr.,
George Maduro Jr.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was talking about inner city baseball.
Yeah.
And it would be interesting to talk to Red about what does Major League Baseball need to do?
Yeah.
To encourage, you know, and do it, you know, just it'd be interesting to see his perspective on how do we feed the game.
And I think one of the topics we're going to be talking about tomorrow is youth baseball and what's wrong with it and how it can be fixed. But the Marlins are starting to make some strides in renovating some of these ballparks around the city and doing some.
I live on Shenandoah Park, and every year they show up, they give all the kids, it's free baseball. They hook the kids up with uniforms, equipment, like the whole thing. Yeah, yeah. So it's they're doing it. It's an interesting thing to see what happens, because we have such athletic talent here. And how do you sell the baseball to it?
Yeah. So that should be a great conversation. And we made it to 100 shows, man. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to that conversation.
Thanks, D-Nice.
Episode 99. Woo! In the books. Go Fish.